Okay, it's league night here in San Francisco, and we're at the secret cave behind. I can't even say where it is, but it's full of awesome video games and pinball. And I played my first Tommy here, which I also learned was like the worst pinball movie ever because they destroy pinball machines in it and everything else. But I'm super excited because I am here with the king of pinball, as voted by the Pinball Podcast, and the queen, I guess, the first lady of pinball, the Steinmans here, so Mark and Anastasia. So how do you feel about that? That's as like a community voted thing.
I feel embarrassed is what I feel. I don't deserve that. There's so many people out there who are more deserving than me. I mean, what I do is a product of so many other people. There's so many people who are a part of Papa and making it what it is, and in helping me be the face of other people's work. King of Pinball is, I'm very honored, but at the same time, I don't feel worthy.
And how do you feel about it?
I'm definitely calling him the king from now on. That's going to be it. Anytime I play Elvis Presley, I'm going to think of you.
That sounds pretty awesome. I think the thing I thought that was really cool was that people recognize what you've been doing, and I think that's why people voted that way. I mean, I haven't talked to people that have voted necessarily, but I think that there's a lot of us in the pinball community that really appreciate all the work that Papa's done, and I feel like the reason they might have voted for you specifically is, you know, I think Bowen does a lot as well, and he's often more in front of the camera, and a lot of times, I mean, I think with Roadshow, you guys are in front of the camera more. But I think that people were trying to show that they appreciate the hard work you're doing behind the scenes oftentimes. Like, I know at the broadcast from, like, Never Drains and everything, you know, you were one of the guys that was never really on camera, but you were setting it up. And I think that's what people really appreciate is what you're contributing to pinball. And I think that was kind of cool that they voted you that way.
I can definitely appreciate that. And I understand if there is... I mean, it's a lot of work. I don't deny that. There's definitely a lot of work in what I do and what Papa does in general. I just hope that if people did vote for me, they understand that Papa is a team. It's not just me. It's all of the people out there who are helping us be successful and contributing whenever they can, but also a lot of the people behind the scenes, even behind me, who are making it happen. So if people voted for me as a gesture towards Papa as a whole and an organization, then I thank them dearly. If they voted for me specifically as a person, then I don't feel worthy.
I think it was all because you wore the circuit belt when you were pumping gas. That's what spawned it.
That off. I take credit for.
I think the current stuff you guys have been posting with the actual roadshow machine on the road has been really neat. And like this, I guess earlier today you guys were in the Redwoods or the Sequoias?
Yeah, actually, that's a little bit of a project that we have going on. It's not just for this cross-country trip. We're actually filming a tutorial. Ball one of the roadshow tutorial was filmed at the Grand Canyon. Ball two was filmed in the Sequoias. And ball three was filmed with the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. We're just trying to have fun and do whatever we can to make a splash so that pinball gets noticed a little more. And if we're driving across the country to help broadcast the Never Drains tournament, we may as well do some extra stuff along the way. And that's just one of the things that we have going on.
So, Anastasia, you know, are you into pinball the same amount, or is it because you're with Mark, or how's your interest in pinball?
I enjoy playing a lot. Originally, I got into it because of Mark and his brother Byron. They would go down to the Pittsburgh Pinball League and play, so I would come down and hang out and met an amazing group of people there. But I pretty much just play for fun, and then I got into, you know, the photography aspect of it and would come to the events and take pictures and all that sort of fun stuff. And then once the roadshow started, I kind of took a part in that and started filming for the different segments and doing travel segments and that kind of thing. So it just kind of ballooned from there, and this road trip has been amazing so far.
And do you feel like any responsibility as a female to try to get more women involved in pinball? Because obviously, I know at Never Drains, when I left, I was like, man, I haven't seen very many women. And there was, you know, only, I think, one in the tournament, and then, like, there was maybe a total of eight in that room ever. It's like, it was very male, you know, heavy. And
It is in general a little bit more of a male-dominated sport, but I think a lot more women are starting to come in and play and have a good time. And I think, I know, especially hanging out with the Pittsburgh Pinball League, there are quite a few women in that league that enjoy coming out and having a good time and kicking around with the boys. So I think they're sort of trying to infiltrate the system a little bit. And I hang out with, you know, Penny all the time, and I know Jen Peebler, and there's just a couple girls that are really kind of up and coming within the pinball community that are doing a good job and doing well at tournaments. So I think as that occurs, it'll pull more and more women into the group.
And do you think the themes of pinball machines or any of that has any factor on that? Or
I think the themes are hilarious, especially some of the older games. Those are probably my favorite. And if anything, I think that would probably draw more women to the game. Especially, I know a lot of the women who are into it tend to have more of a retro feel about them in general. So I think the retro games and everything really help to bring them in, and they enjoy the artwork. And
I think I probably get more offended than you do.
Yeah, I think they're awesome. They really, they crack me up quite a bit. I love just walking around the Papa facility, especially late at night, and looking at all the artwork on the EMs and everything, and checking them out and seeing.
I don't know. It's just,
I don't know. They're pretty.
It's. To a degree, it's just part of the culture.
Yeah,
it was decades ago, and it's not something that's going to change. It was what it was, and you know, well, I can't say it's not something that's going to change in the future, but meaning the past is not going to change. The past is set. I don't know. It is what it is, and either, you know, celebrate it or ignore it. But it just, you got to deal with it one way or the other.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I like a lot of those, too, because the same reason, I think it's kind of why, like, a show like Mad Men would be popular, because when I watched it initially, I was kind of offended. I was like, this is totally offensive, the way women are treated and everything.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But then you're like, that's what it was, and I think the same thing with the machines. We knew, I remember seeing a machine at Pinball Hall of Fame that was, like, an ad for cigarettes. It was like maybe it was a Camel machine. I don't even know what it was, but, you know, it's kind of like, what? That doesn't seem like a good idea for, like, a thing that kids can play or something.
Yeah, but back in, you know, in the 50s and everything, that was something that was okay and acceptable. So
I wasn't around
with it.
I mean, I wasn't around in the 50s. I wasn't around in the 70s. I'm not going to say why people made things the way they did, but I know that now some of the things make me chuckle because it's just kind of a tongue-in-cheek humor, and you know, it's, I don't know, I just don't really feel obligated to judge others for decisions they made back then. And
So if you could have I know Jersey Jack announced they're going to have some big announcement. I love that everybody nowadays announces that they're going to announce. So let's say their announcement is their next machine. Well, tell me what, like, you would love to see as a theme, not thinking realistically, but just idealistically.
I'm going ballet theme all the way.
Ballet theme.
I danced ballet for years and years and taught for quite a few years. So I'm going straight ballet theme. Baryshnikov. It'll just be, you know, pictures of Baryshnikov everywhere, so get the women in, because it's a attractive man in tights. That's what it's going to be. You hit the spinner, and he does, like, foyers, pirouettes. It'll be great. That's my vision. Jersey Jack, if you're listening.
So,
I don't know where to go from that. You're so distracted.
I've
just visualizing it.
Yeah.
I don't want to visualize it.
I've learned in my marriage that there are times whenever I need to lay down the sword and lay down the pen and just go along, and this is one of those times. Jersey Jack, if you're listening, we need a ballet-themed pinball. I support my wife in every possible way.
That's actually, that'll bring me to my next question then, because one thing I saw, I think on Pinside, there was a thread about, like, what does your wife let you buy or something like that, which I thought was kind of sexist, because I'm just like, well, you know, why does that matter? Like, what if she wants her own pins or something like that? But obviously there's the home collector, the home market is so huge now. Like, we're sitting in a secret, you know, home arcade, actually, and people, you know, this is, like, something that is really driving pinball right now. So, like, it's kind of, you know, I don't know if like they're thinking along those lines, or, you know, the home collector is now a bigger part of the market than the operators. I don't really know what the actual fact is in pinball, but I know that for myself, I play mostly on location, but I love coming to these kind of places.
Do you want to answer that, or should I?
You can go ahead for them.
I love my wife, and we do what we do as a team. Whenever we make decisions, whether be they purchase decisions or even just where to go on a Friday night or what to do. They're not based on what either one of us specifically wants. It's based on what we want to do as a couple. And so whenever decisions are made, it's never an issue of what my wife will let me buy because it's a joint effort. So whatever theme comes out is going to be something that either appeals to us collectively or it's going to be something that we're just going to ignore. It's not necessarily ever a situation where it's something that I'm permitted to do or she's permitted to do. It's something that we try and enjoy together. And that's one of the things that I think is fantastic about pinball is that it appeals to so many different people on so many different levels that she may, you know, I may enjoy the competitive aspect of it and she may enjoy the artwork. Or, you know, she may enjoy a particular theme and I'm enjoying the electronics or vice versa. And yeah, whatever Jersey Jack comes out with for his next pinball machine, it won't be a decision made individually. It'll be one that's made between both of us.
So do you guys have your own pinball machines at home?
We used to have a whole bunch. So we had, what, 14 or 15 in the basement, which actually...
I don't even remember.
Yeah. Shockingly, I think I picked most of the ones we ended up with, which is kind of funny. But now we don't have any.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true. There's the one, and we have a high speed. But it's in the garage. It's not set up. I got rid of a lot of our pinball machines. We got rid of a lot of our pinball machines because I spend a lot of my time down at the Papa facility.
Yeah, when you regularly have access to 450, you don't need them at home as much.
I'm not going to lie. I do regret getting rid of some of them, but part of that had to do with starting to work at Papa, but part of it also had to do with us moving and just not wanting to move all of our stuff, so we sold off a lot of our stuff. It's just, I don't know, a couple decisions along the way led to us reducing our collection, and now we don't really have many, but we are more involved in pinball than we ever have been. So
if you could have just one machine at home, which one would it be for either of you or both of you?
You want to go first? Or
kind of a toss-up. I would say it would either be Creature or Dragon.
Dragon.
Because I would love to just annoy you all night long hitting the dragons over and over and over again while you're trying to get work done. But Creature is definitely one of my favorites. I love the music. I love the theme. And it's just a great game to play.
That was probably your best buy. I liked that one for a long time. I would say if I would pick up another game, I would probably want A Strange Science. That game for
the game you started off on.
Yeah, that game for sentimental reasons just it means a lot to me, and it makes me laugh every time I look at that artwork and I see the monkey holding his ears and the scientist, you know, pushing the lever forward that's the wires aren't actually connected to anything, and I'm like, yeah, the monkey's in charge. Like that kind of stuff is just, it makes me laugh, and the sounds are great, and I don't know, if I had a game that I would want to bring back, it would be that one.
It seems like a lot of people I know are really into more like random machines that for different reasons, and one of the things that was hilarious that It Never Drains was the teed off, and how like that was, I want to watch the, you know, because I was there so I couldn't hear what you guys were saying, but we were watching it and it was hilarious just because those guys all had like terrible all these players had horrible ball one and two, and these are the world's best players, and then when I think it was Zach Sharp was cradling the ball, and then the Gophers just harassing him, and that was just hilarious, and I kind of felt bad because we're all laughing because we were actually laughing at them, but I think partially it was because we know that when you play pinball, you're not really playing against players, you're playing against a machine. And I think that's why people are really passionate about pinball. It's not like if somebody beats you, it's not necessarily that they beat you. They did a better job against the machine and you respect them for that versus like a sport where you just beat somebody because you defeated them in some manner. And I think, you know, that's what I like about pinball and the people. But as you guys have been coming across the country and you guys have been all over, what have you seen as kind of different things in different parts of the country that are going on as far as like types of people or what just in general like related to pinball, what are you guys seeing that's interesting or weird or fun?
We've seen a lot of different things, but I think that ties back to what I said before. There's pinball appeals to so many different people in so many different ways. actually, I'm going to reset this my answer just a little bit. I was just talking to Pear, local SFPD player and league official, I guess, right? Yeah, about pinball and. Lost my train of thought.
Well, I was going to say, it's been interesting to see the different crowds that go to the different pinball arcades. We were in St. Louis, and we went to the Silver Ballroom, and it was a very kind of punk rock crowd, amazing jukebox. And then you go over to Orbit Pinball Lounge, which is, I don't know, just a couple miles away, and it was just a completely different crowd, much more, you know, professional crowd, I guess you could say. But the atmosphere there was just very calm, and everyone was just having a good time playing pinball, whereas the Silver Ballroom was very, like, everyone's kind of in your business. And so it was just interesting being in that small of a space and seeing these two arcades that are just extremely, extremely different. But everyone's still there having a good time playing pinball. And
Yeah, so I was just talking to Pear, SFPD official, and one of the things we were talking about was how pinball is something that's iconic to our generation. Pinball is something that relates to people in so many different ways that to discuss their interactions with gaming or the arcades or pinball will help you learn about them as people. There was another generation that had the same thing or something very similar with baseball, where everyone had a baseball story, and whether you followed the game or not, it was something that you could always talk about. You know, oh, you know, I knew someone who was really into it, or I used to play it as a kid, or such and such. And pinball is really not all that different from that. And so whenever we travel around the country and we talk to people about, you know, their days in the arcade or their days with consoles or their days playing pinball or what got them into it, or even whenever I'm interviewing people for the road show, part of it is me wanting to hear about pinball, but a larger part of it is me wanting to hear their story and help them tell their story. And pinball is just the conduit to that information. It's a way to relate to others that is very timely for those who happen to be my age and who had similar experiences to me around the world. We all saw this incredible boom in technology, and with that came so much fun and so many quarters lost. And we all have a lot of similar experiences in that. And so the fact that pinball can be so much to so many people is a testament not only to pinball as a game, but also to its ability to help us relate to one another. And that may sound like a bunch of BS to, you know, to people out there who are listening. And that's fine. You may think that. You may think that I'm full of crap. But the truth is, whenever I sit down with people and, you know, we grab a drink together and the cameras start rolling, eventually there's going to be a little flicker in their eyes and they're going to forget the cameras are on and they're going to tell me that one story about that one moment that brought them happiness. And it's the same flicker that I see in so many different people. And if I can capture that just for a second and help others see that, it's going to help the wider world understand why we do what we do. And we're not going to look like a bunch of weirdos. That's not the goal. We're not going to look like just, you know, people who are obsessed with dropping quarters down coin slots. It's going to be a lens into it's going to be a clearer picture through a lens of, you know, what makes us who we are. And I generally believe that people are good people, and, you know, it's a fun thing to experience. So that's kind of what we're after when we do it, and that's what I've seen as we travel across the country. A little bit at a time.
I mean, it's actually kind of funny for me because I didn't really grow up playing pinball at all. So I've been handling more of, you know, the travel sections of the road show. So I've been going around just talking to random people in the towns that we're driving through. And it's funny whenever I bring up pinball, how many people, their eyes light up. They get this huge smile on their face. They're like, pinball, I haven't played pinball in so many years. But they all have a story about playing it whenever they were younger. What are you talking about?
No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but I immediately was just thinking of, we went into this this neighborhood near here named Tiburon, I guess. Yeah. Is it Tiburon? Yep. And we set up the road show along the road, and we had the Golden Gate Bridge in the background, and you know, you could see the bay, and we were up real high, and this guy was riding his bike up from the highway and or up from the road below, and you know, he was just huffing and puffing and just having a hell of a time, and he looked miserable. And then he rounded the bend and he sees Bowen out there playing this pinball machine in the middle of the street, and he goes from looking awful to his eyes lighting up, and he's like, you know,
what are you guys doing?
Number one, what the hell is going on here? And then number two, he stopped and he's like, I love pinball. This is awesome. What are you doing? You know, yeah. And we talked to him for like 20 minutes. Yeah. And, you know, it's not on camera anywhere. We're not, you know, we didn't record it or anything. We just talked to him about pinball. And he just, you know, he stopped. It was just literally a biker biking down the road whenever we had this game set up. And he just wanted to talk about the game. And he told us a story. And he had that same little bit. You know, a flicker that I was talking about.
One of my favorites was I was in Napa, and I was in this little boutique vintage shop where they like custom make the clothing to fit you and all these things. And the woman, the lady who owned the shop, asked me what I was there for. And I was like, oh, you know, we're here for a pinball competition. And I was expecting her to be like, oh, that's strange. And she was like, oh, I used to play pinball all the time. I lived in Ohio, and my grandparents lived in Pittsburgh, and I used to go to hang out at the bars there and go and play pinball with my friends. It's like, what are the chances of that happening? Like, she was the last person I thought would have a pinball story, and you just never know who you're going to run into.
It's a universal
Everyone
language.
Everyone knows.
And that's what I think is cool now with this kind of resurgence, whatever, you know, everybody uses that term, because like you're saying, the certain people of a certain age remember it because, you know, it was around all the way through, I guess, the late 90s is about kind of that, like, when it was prevalent and findable and everything. But now there's like these new people coming into it, and I think that's where the video, you know, like the video versions and everything are really helping people get into it. And it is funny when people have actually never played an actual machine but played it on their iPad, and they're like, this is the real version of this? And you're like,
yes.
Yeah, we have Whirlwind, you know, we have these things that are on that. And but like, even beyond that, there's so many different types of people, which I love, because I met all kinds of people of different ages, different, like, I like to not know what anybody does for a living when I meet pinball people, because I don't care about that really. And you know, like, a lot of times when you meet people, like, oh, what do you do? I don't like people asking that question. I like it when you share the interest, and later you find out, holy cow, like, Jeremy here is the guy that made that Tron mod with the, you know, with the little video game on the Tron. I didn't even know that. I've known him for like a year, and I think that's kind of awesome. Maybe I'm a horrible friend, but but you know, but like, I like not knowing what people do. I don't need to know that, oh, you're a engineer, you're a lawyer, you're whatever, because there's so many different types of people into pinball, which I think is cool. Because I went to a person's house I didn't know, because I was jonesing for pinball back in my home state over the holidays, and I go pull up to his house, and he has the rival university's flag hanging, and where I come from, that's a big deal, you know. And I was like, I could be never leaving this house, you know. And but once we came in, he's like, oh, you're an Auburn guy, and I'm like, yeah, and he's an Alabama fan, and we're just like, a little pause, and then he's like, well, let's go play some pinball. So we had a little bourbon, played some pinball, and everything was good. And I love that, because I would probably not hang out with an Alabama fan otherwise, you know. It's like, it's the equalizer, it brings people, yeah, you know, like, so, like, even at Indus, there's so many different types of people, even though most of them are men.
Yeah, you actually touched on something that I think is pretty important.
Was it the bourbon?
Well, no, I could talk about that too, but you mentioned that not everyone necessarily has gone through the arcade boom, and I think I probably mentioned, you know, I probably related to that in a way in some of my previous comments, but not everyone necessarily has gone through the same arcade boom and that experience that Per and I have, or you know, that generation has gone through. But at the same time, I don't need to cut my arm off to know it's going to hurt. I believe it's possible for different generations to understand the defining characteristics of previous and more recent generations, and to appreciate them, and in some ways even to experience them after they happened. To kind of go through it. Before I met my wife here, I used to have a crush on Shirley from Laverne and Shirley. And she was, you know, a simple girl. And I used to come home from college and I would watch this show, and it just, for some reason, it fascinated me. And I think a little bit of that is me missing that time period that I never lived through. Mm-hmm. And it touched me in a way. And so, even though not everyone played in the arcades, that doesn't mean that the people coming into the game now and approaching the scene currently can't relate to it and can't appreciate it. Maybe they don't have those gut memories that those of us who lived through it have or have experienced. But that doesn't mean they can't appreciate it and they can't enjoy it now.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that those video game versions, you know, they have amazing physics and all this stuff. And I like that stuff. I think that's really impressive. But ultimately, when you play a pinball machine, it's just this, like, I love that, the rawness and how real it is. And when you get screwed, it's kind of almost, that's what you like about it, because it will screw you on some stupid thing that, you know, and that's kind of neat, because that's like real life, you know. It's not like programmed to randomly do this.
I think that's why I love the EM so much. Like, that's when every single event at Papa, at some point when the lights go out at night and it's, you know, Papa After Dark, I love going around and playing all the EMs. And you really, there is that randomness factor, especially in the older machines.
Yeah.
That's just so much fun to go and play and see what's going to happen.
I think that's why a lot of people will choose them, especially when you're playing really good players, because you're like, well, they can never save that, because there's like a giant gap in the middle. And no matter if you're Keith Owen or Bowen, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's like, that's still going down the middle no matter what. But, yeah, so you guys don't compete, right? Like, is that a conflict of interest thing, or just
too busy?
I used to. I'm honestly not real sure where I am in the Whopper rankings right now. That's pretty much the dominant pinball ranking system. But over the last year, I think the last time I really seriously competed in something was probably Louisville of last March in 2013.
Yeah, I think with the broadcasting now, it makes it almost impossible, because he has to be behind the desk pretty much the whole entire time.
I did a year of the circuit whenever we were first getting everything figured out.
Team Void.
In every tournament that I attended, I qualified in, so I'm not going to say that I don't enjoy competing, because I do. I love it. It's actually an incredible amount of fun. But since the broadcasting angle of it has taken over, my competing days have just taken a back seat. Number one, because I can't play on Sunday. I've got to be back there helping, you know, produce the show in the booth. And number two, I believe that to push this game and sport forward, we need someone who's willing to take one for the team and be completely out of the competition in order to make fair rulings. And I am absolutely not saying that people who play in their own tournaments are not capable of being fair. I'm just saying that for the purposes of a total outsider, I think it's important that in the major competitions there is one person there who is just set aside from it all.
What about you, Anastasia?
Oh, jeez.
Have you competed?
I think the only thing I've actually competed in was the pin golf tournament at Lions last year, and I played absolutely horribly. pinball's just been more of a fun thing for me to do. I enjoy the social aspect of it. And just getting together with people I know and having fun. I haven't really ventured into the competitive aspect. I tend to get a little flustered if I'm under too much pressure. So maybe eventually. Well, it depends on what kind of pressure, because when Josh and Zach were screaming at me at GameWorks, I played really well. But
I just want to cut in here. I've watched her rule the universe. So it's not like we're talking about someone who is, you know, an amateur player. She's a really good player. But whenever, if I can speak for you, whenever we were first getting into pinball, competition came second. We played just because we enjoyed playing, and it was fun to just grab a drink with friends, and it was a social thing for us first. Competition was long after that, and I definitely respect, and I know you do as well, respect the competitive players and the effort that they put into it, but that is, in our course, newer than the just general enjoyment of the game.
Yeah. I might eventually dive into some tournament, but I haven't yet. I'm normally always helping out, doing behind-the-scenes stuff, entering scores and whatnot. So
you do have a ranking.
Yes, I do, and it's very, very low.
You know, I keep telling her to play in just one more tournament and become the Whopper Player of the Month, because like I feel like, just, you know, I think you played in one tournament and just kind of like put in a ball or two, and then that was pretty much it. And then
it was the pin golf. By the end of that, I was like, I'm done.
If you invested yourself with your skill level, I think you could definitely take that title for a month and go for it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's cool too, because there's people that do competitive, Like, I love tournaments, but I'm not that good, but I love it because I feel like it makes me, you know, care about learning more about it. And then there's the people that like to fix them, and then there's the people that, you know, just casually play. There's people that collect them as art forms. I think, like, that's what I like with Michael Scheist is doing, you know, with the Pacific Pinball Museum. He treats them as art, and he treats it as, like, a science education for kids. So he likes to have kids there, and he teaches them physics through pinball, that's which cool. I think is really cool because, you know, that's another angle. And there's so many angles to it, and I think that's what's kind of cool is, like, you can just like to play for fun. Because I told a friend about League, and they're like, oh, that sounds too competitive. And I'm like, it is competitive for some people, but most of us just come here and have a good time. And I think most pinball people are kind of like that. Even, like, the top players, I never feel like there's some of them that you kind of can see that are very frustrated, but most of them, I think, are having fun with it. I mean, like, it's not like you're going to be rich, you know?
Yeah. I think Keith Elwin's the most, like, stoic pinball player I've ever seen. Like, he's just always very calm and comes up to the machine and does his thing, and he always looks like he's having a good time, but you always see him just very under control. And
yeah, I mean, but are you actually going to suggest that Keith doesn't enjoy playing?
I said he always looks like he's having a good time.
Oh,
I'm saying
yeah.
You never see that, like, super frustration that some of the players get or angry at the machine.
In the Papa After Party, we tackled each other to the ground.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just absolute silliness,
yeah.
Like, left and
that's
right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. He has a wonderful time, like, but he just keeps it very under control. I'm saying he doesn't get frustrated, angry, like some...
Guys want to have fun. You know, no one's out here to get their face on TV or, you know, like, be famous or make millions. It's just having fun. I mean, I think one of the biggest misunderstandings is that competition can't be fun because competition's a freaking blast. Whenever you really get into it and, you know, either you're right on the bubble or you're making it or, you know, you're coming down to that one ball that matters and you gotta hit the one shot that you would otherwise never shoot and you're put in these really awkward situations, it makes the game entertaining in a way that casual play never can. Competition is definitely entertaining and definitely fun. And even though those guys at times might look serious, everyone is there because they want to have fun.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
So how would you guys characterize some of the folks you met here in our league, the San Francisco Pinball Department League? What do you think of us folks here?
Oh, everyone's been super friendly, and they look like they're having an amazing time here. I think it's a great crowd that you guys have. How many people are in the league now?
80, right? Yeah,
80. Wow,
85.
That's incredible.
I think you're a bunch of silly people, and I can't wait to get back to have a few beers with you.
Okay, well, let's end it at that so we can get out of here and play some more pinball.
Cool.